We've been working verse by verse through 1 Timothy. And as we come to chapter 3, we find the components of a scripturally organized local church. And you'll notice in verse 1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. You recall at the end of chapter 2, he said in verse number 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So a bishop, the office of a bishop, that of overseeing, that authority, it's for a man that has a desire for it and is qualified to do it. As you go through the verses, he gives the qualifications. Then down in verse number 10, and let these, and this is the deacons, let these also first be proved. In other words, don't say, I think we can get that guy living right if we'll make him a deacon. No, don't make him a deacon unless he's living right. Let him first be proved, and then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. The bishop must be blameless. The deacon must be, it didn't say sinless, but a testimony that cannot be blamed. You cannot look at them and say they're not living for God. They have a clear testimony for the Lord. So you have the office of a bishop, you have the office of a deacon, and then down in verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. That's not talking about a physical building. What is the house of God? Which is the church of the living God. And of course, you're not in the church unless you're saved. In this present age, all who believe the gospel are baptized by one spirit into one body, the body of Christ, the church. And then we ought to meet together locally, assembling with other believers. But in the Bible, you're not in the church unless you're saved. This is the saints here, the church of the living God. Somebody said, now that's talking about the body of Christ. Others say, no, it's talking about the local church. Well, it's both, because the local church is supposed to be a visible manifestation of the spiritual body in a community. The local church is supposed to be made up of saved people. Now, lost people can sneak in there, but it's supposed to be made up of saved people. There's only one body of Christ, one church, which is the body of Christ, but there are many local churches. And the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So you have the bishop, you have the deacon, you have the congregation. Look over in Philippians, to your left, to Philippians 1. There's a difference between having a Bible study with some believers and having a local church. A local church is to be organized according to the Word of God as revealed through Paul. And to have a local church, this is what you need here. Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. There's the body of Christ. Which are at Philippi. There's the local church. You know, it's God's will for you to be in two churches in this age. The first church is the body of Christ. You get in upon salvation. But then the local church is about service. Those who are already saved, assembling together for the work of the ministry. With the bishops and deacons, plural. Bishops and deacons. So you have the saints, you have the bishops, the deacons. So to have a scripturally organized local church, you got to have an assembly of believers, but there needs to be bishops and deacons. Now, depending on the size of the church, you may not need more than one bishop. Okay, but I think even in a smaller church with one bishop, you need at least to have another deacon or two. There are only two offices in the local church that are sanctioned by the Word of God. That's it. It's very simple. We're not to add or take away from the divine order. Paul told Titus, set in order the things that are wanting. And he was talking about ordaining elders. And he went on to say that the elders were bishops. In that passage in Titus 1, put it in order. There's a divine order in the Word of God for these things. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. But isn't that exactly what the so-called Christian religion has done with all of its man-made hierarchy? I mean, you got birds now that have offices in the church. You know, the cardinals, for an example. That's about as scriptural as the Blue Jays, okay? A lot of man-made stuff. When it comes to church government, is it congregational? Is it presbytery? Is it Methodist? Is it Episcopal? Is it, you know, on and on it goes. Well, let's just follow what Paul said, and it's very simple in the pastoral epistles. Christ is the head of the church. Okay? Not the pastor, not the deacons, not your grandmama who was a charter member. Christ is the head of the church. His word is the authority. Okay? People say, I think we ought to do it this way. Doesn't matter. What you think, doesn't matter what I think. What does the Word of God say? That's what we follow. Christ is the head. His Word is our authority. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the church of the living God. It's His church. The pillar and ground of the truth. His Word. Okay? A church is simply a called out assembly. That's all it means. And there are various churches in the Scripture. There's a prophesied church concerning the kingdom. That's not us because we were a mystery hid from the prophets. And the church God's building today is not about a kingdom on the earth. It's about a body seated with Christ in heavenly places. In this present age, God is building one spiritual church, the body of Christ. But the local church is to be a visible manifestation of the body of Christ in the community. And whereas there's one body, there are many churches. Each church is independent and autonomous. One church doesn't have any jurisdiction over the other. Now, there are people who understand the importance of the body of Christ, but sadly, they neglect the local church. That's one thing if you don't have a local church to attend. It's something else if you do and you don't care about it. Paul cared about it. He started churches. He wrote, everything he wrote in the Word of God was to churches. It was either to a church or to a church leader. You know, Paul didn't write letters to people with a Facebook ministry. Okay? And you say Facebook wasn't back then. How do you know? But anyway. I understand that. My point being, though, you got to minister with real people. Okay? And I think that the social media thing is destroying our country. And I recognize it's a tool that can be used for good, but it's being used for far more evil than good. And I say that with the understanding that there are people who listen to our messages online, and that's fine if it's people who have no other option. That's why we provide that. But we don't. There are people out there that they have a church they could attend, but they just don't. And they say, well, all that matters is I'm in the body of Christ. That's what matters most, but that's not all that matters. How much did Paul say about the local church? Quite a bit. So don't claim you're following Paul if you don't put a priority on the local church, because he did. Now, before we go verse by verse through 1 Timothy 3, and it'll take us a couple lessons, right now I just want to give an overview on what Paul taught concerning church government. And I think it's good for us to review this from time to time. Because if we're not on the same page on these things, it can cause a problem. Look in 1 Thessalonians 5. You'd probably notice we don't vote on things. And that's not to say we never do. It's just we usually don't. And there's a reason for that. How many times did you see in the Bible a church voting on something? For an example, the Baptist way, historically speaking, is there's a committee for everything, and then you have to have a committee to appoint a committee. Committee, 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 committee. And they vote on everything. That has led to so much strife and problems. And it's not scriptural. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. and are over you in the Lord. God ordained authority. They're over you in the Lord. See, you shouldn't deify your leaders. Some churches make way too much out of a man. But you shouldn't defy them either. And there's always one extreme or the other. We need to learn to recognize how God set this up. He said, there are those that are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sakes. Now, it's no accident he goes on to say this. And be at peace among yourselves. Because when a church doesn't operate the way God intended it to, there's going to be strife and division and problems. We are all in one spiritual body. I don't have a higher standing in Christ than you do just because, you know, I'm a pastor or a bishop. By the way, start calling me Bishop Osteen, if you would please. I mean, you got Bishop T.D. Jakes. Actually, bishop is an office. It's a scriptural term. We're just so used to saying pastor. And pastor is a scriptural term, too. There are some people who think you shouldn't use that. Paul used it. Okay, it's not a bad term. It's a work that a man does. But I don't have a higher standing in Christ. And yet, practically speaking, there is such a thing as leadership that God has set. And we need to recognize that. God ordained leadership in the church. He said, yeah, they labor among you, but there are some who are over you. And man, we live in a culture that just has a hard time, it seems, respecting authority. And, you know, you read the Word of God, it doesn't take long to realize that God is all about authority. And, of course, He is the final authority in His Word, but He has set some authority. He put authority in the home. He put authority in the church. He put authority in government. You got people that rebel against all of that. Well, that's not wise. And that's wrong to go against God-ordained authority. Now, if the authority is abusing their authority and they're out of bounds, then you're not obligated to follow that. But if it's operating within its God-given boundaries, then you are obligated to respect that and follow that. Now, the Word of God teaches, and by the way, so we don't believe in the clergy-laity type of thing. There's no lordship of church leaders over the lay people, whatever that is. We're all in the same body, but practically there has to be some leadership. And the Word of God teaches that the local church is to be ruled by a group of elders. And that's the word that's used, to rule. Okay, that's authority. Look in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. And this, of course, Timothy was an apostle. Timothy, you know, during his ministry in the book of Acts, you know, when he was appointed to follow along with Paul in the work of the ministry, you know, he had the supernatural gift. And of course, that's not the way it works now. The gifts have ceased. Now we have the complete Word of God. But anyway, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. Nobody has the gift of prophecy today. With the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Now, even though some things have changed, I think one thing that hasn't changed is that there should be a presbytery. Now, we don't use that word too much because we don't want people to think we're Presbyterian. But it simply means a group of elders. Okay? Look in chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders, plural, that rule well, be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Not all elders are necessarily laboring in the word and doctrine. That's for the pastor to do. The pastor is an elder, but not every elder is a pastor. He said, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. I heard a preacher say, you know what that means, bless God? You take the average income of the church, times it by two, and pay your pastor. And I said, amen. I actually heard somebody say, I don't think that's the point. I'm kidding. Yeah, it'd be all right. But I did hear a preacher say that. He literally said that. But, you know, he was a guest preacher, and he got a good love offering after that message, I guarantee. But you see that there are elders that rule. Now, that doesn't mean a dictatorship. You know, obviously. I mean, look at 1 Timothy 3, verse 5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So to rule is taking care of, according to that verse. And any husband that acts like a dictator in his home is an idiot, okay? That's not what it means to be the head of your wife and the head of your home. You are the leader, but you need to. There needs to be a loving leadership, okay? And you're taking care of your family. And same thing with church leadership. The church leaders are there to take care of the church, to help the church, not there to lord over the church. Okay, Christ alone is the head of the church. Now, nowhere is it taught in the Scripture that one man should rule in the church. Now, for an example, among the what they call the IFB, Independent Fundamental Baptist, this is pretty common with the Jack Hiles type leadership and some of those preachers like that, where there was the man of God and he pretty much did whatever he wanted to do. And if you disobeyed that, then God's going to kill you. Okay? And they were like the Moses, right? And they were like, it's like they're a king over the church. And you're to fear the man of God. And one man pretty much calls the shots. And they might have some deacons just for show, you know, if they have to sign some papers every once in a while or... But they don't really do anything. They just do whatever the preacher tells them to do, you know. And if you don't do what the preacher tells you to do, you're not going to be a deacon very long. Okay, that's kind of how it goes in a lot of churches. Well, that's not right, and that's not in the Word of God. But neither is it taught in the Word of God that the congregation rules, where the whole congregation has to make the decision about everything. That's not in the Bible. You show me one example in the Bible where the congregation decided on a matter. It's not there. Okay? Now, that's not to say that the people's opinions don't count. Of course, any wise church leaders want to work in harmony with the people. But it's not given to the whole congregation to have authority. There are those who are over you in the Lord. In the church. Proper church government is Christ ruling by His Spirit through His Word. Things being done the way He set them up. Well, how did He set it up? Well, in the context of local church leadership, the word elder, look in Titus 1, the word elder refers to a spiritually mature man. Not to an office. The offices are bishop and deacon. Elder is the man, the person. He is an elder spiritually. In other words, he's mature spiritually. He doesn't have to be 80 years old physically. If he's spiritually mature, then that's an elder. Timothy was a young man, but he was an elder spiritually. Based on the qualifications for the two offices, we know that both bishops and deacons are to be elders. If you go, and we're going to go through those. You know what he's describing in 1 Timothy 3 when he talks about what the bishop needs to be and the deacons need to be? That's godliness. That's spiritual character. And the bishops and the deacons are supposed to be examples to the believers. They have to be spiritually mature. They have to be godly in their lifestyle. Blameless in that. Titus 1, verse 5. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city. Elders, plural. Crete was an island that had, they said, 100 cities. And there were local churches in many of these cities. And he said, in each city where there's a local church, there needs to be what? Elders, plural. As I had appointed thee. So he said, appoint elders. Then he said, verse 7, for a bishop must be. So that tells you a bishop is an elder. But that doesn't mean that every elder is a bishop. You're not qualified to be a bishop unless you're an elder. You're not qualified to be a deacon unless you're an elder first. The Bible also speaks of the pastor. And that describes a specific work in the ministry. It's basically the work of caring for God's people, feeding them the Word of God. Look in Jeremiah chapter 3. Now, the idea of a pastor is found in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's a basic thing of leading and feeding God's people. It's like a shepherd is to lead and the flock to green pastures, make sure they're well fed. Jeremiah 3, verse 15, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart." Now, this is a prophecy regarding Israel. They had some bad leaders. And all through Jeremiah, there's a rebuke on the bad pastors. He said, "There's coming a day I'm going to give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Now, that's God's... I mean, look, he said, "This is what's in mine heart. I want you to have pastors that are going to entertain you and make you laugh, and you're going to want to follow them because they have such a great personality, and they're so charismatic, and they're so sweet." That's the main thing. The main thing is they got to butter you up and just kiss up to you, right? Because it's all about you. It's not about me, the Lord. It's about you. Yeah, that means turn it off if you don't mind. I'm telling you, that fire alarm has not gone off all week. Crazy nonsense. I'm going to lose my religion over that thing. So, that's not... He said, if you want to know what's in mine heart, shouldn't people, you know, kind of care what God thinks about things? God says, if you want to know the kind of pastors I have in my heart, it's those that are going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. All right? So that's the main thing. Let the elders that rule well be... Thank you, sir. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in what? The Word and doctrine. That's what God wants for His people. Look at Jeremiah 23. Here's an example. I won't read all the verses. Here's an example of Him rebuking the wrong kind of pastors. Jeremiah 23, verse 1. "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds..." So that shows you the pastors like a shepherd, right? "Over them which shall" what? "Feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." So these pastors didn't take care of the people. They taught them a bunch of tradition, a lot of false things, and they just driven them away. But I want pastors that are going to take care of the people, feeding them, obviously feeding them God's Word. Look in 1 Peter 5. I'm well aware of where these verses are located in the Bible, but the work of a pastor is pretty much the same whether you're talking about Israel or the body of Christ. I mean, there's a difference in doctrine on some things, but the basic principle of feeding God's people is the same. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. The elders, now look at this. Now he's talking about elders, and he's going to describe the work of a pastor. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you." Taking the oversight, that's what a bishop means, overseer. So in this passage, notice you have elder, you have the work of pastoring, and then you have the issue of an overseer, the bishop. "Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now this is talking about pastors in the kingdom church, but the same principle applies. Look in Acts 20. Here's the same thing Paul, talking to the elders at Ephesus in this age of grace, you know, concerning the body of Christ. He says in verse number 17, "From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." All right, we won't read the whole thing. It's a great passage where he gives them some parting words. This is the last time he'll see them. Verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock." So every time you read flock and sheep, 9 out of 10 times it's Israel. But you can use that language about the body of Christ. It's not like if you call God's people a flock in this age, you're not really a dispensationalist. Well, it can be used figuratively for us as well. It's just not usually what the verses are talking about. But anyway, he said, "Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Who made them overseers? The Holy Ghost. "To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." So it's his church, he, God, purchased it with his own blood. So, you have these words. Elder. You have bishop. You have pastor. And that word, pastor, is in Ephesians 4. Paul talked about pastors in Ephesians, a prison epistle. So, what this is, the elder is the man, spiritually mature. The bishop is an office that the man uses to do the work. And the pastor, that describes the work that he does. They can all refer to the same man. Because here he's talking to elders. He calls them overseers, bishop, and he tells them to feed the church. That is the work of a pastor. Now, the church at Ephesus was a larger church. And, you know, there are churches that are large enough, they need more than one bishop, more than one pastor. Okay, but then you also have deacon. That could all refer to the same person, but a deacon, the word itself basically means a servant. Okay? And of course the pastor is supposed to be a servant also. But I think the idea, and we'll talk about this as we go through 1 Timothy 3, I think the idea there is that the deacon is supposed to assist the bishop in the work of the ministry. I think that if a bishop means overseer, that's more authority than a deacon. Okay? Now, obviously, a pastor must be an elder. It goes without saying that if a man's going to teach the Word of God, he must be first grounded in it himself. Let me just say this. You know these churches, and I know what I think they mean well, but they'll have like preacher boy contests. That's a dumb idea. It really is. You get these kids up and tell them to preach. No, that's not how it works. You see, can you see Paul doing that, getting a 12-year-old up there and telling them to preach in front of a congregation? You've got to be an elder. We're going to handle God's Word. They mean well. They say it's going to encourage them and this and that, but handling the Word of God is a serious thing. And if somebody's 12 years old, they're not fit for that yet. Okay, of course, I know some 12-year-olds that know more than a lot of pastors around here in this area, but nonetheless, they're still, I guess that means those pastors shouldn't be doing what they're doing either, but the preacher boy contest thing is of the flesh. I remember, you know, I believe God wanted me to preach. I was 18, and I was a senior in high school, and we went to some competition. They had music competition, this competition, that competition, and they put me in there in a preaching competition. And I had to preach, and they were going to grade me on my message. And then you get an award. Now, I lost because I went too long. I honestly...
They hold up a card. A yellow card means you got 5 minutes, and then a red card means stop. You know, they give you a time limit. And I was in my message. I didn't see those cards. And I remember thinking, man, when are those cards coming up? I was up there like almost an hour. I was supposed to preach 20 minutes. And so I lost. But anyway. What else was new? But that's dumb. I mean, look, that's not... You know what happens? You know, a person, if they're going to preach the Word of God, they need to get rooted and grounded, and they need to demonstrate they're an elder, and then it's a privilege and an opportunity they should have, but it's not something that you treat lightly is the point. Okay? You know, if you want to encourage a young person that's wanting to be a teacher, let them get some other young people together and give them a little devotion or something. Don't put them up in the pulpit in front of a congregation. Anyway, I didn't mean to run that rabbit, but there it is. So, spiritual maturity, of course, comes from the Word of God, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. That's from all Scripture by inspiration, given by inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3. That's where we get the maturity. And so that's what the pastor is to feed the people, the Word of God. Now, this is how it's supposed to work. Let's give you a rundown of this. The evangelist... Paul mentions that in Ephesians 4. The evangelist is not someone who goes into an established church and preaches a message they have preached 100 times before, and they got it perfect. I mean, it's memorized. They got their best stories. It's their best message. You know, these type of guys, they really impress people. They couldn't do that every week. They couldn't do that every week. It's an act. Okay, they got their best message. They travel around and preach that. And they're preaching to Christians. That's not what an evangelist does. An evangelist in the Bible is what we would call a missionary today, and it's one who carries the gospel where it's not being preached. Philip the evangelist was told to go down into desert area to take the gospel to that eunuch. I mean, the evangelist... Now, where Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, all believers should do the work of an evangelist, but there are evangelists whose whole, you know, work to do is to carry the gospel. So what happens is the evangelist goes to preach the gospel where it's not being preached. Well, people get saved. Then you have an assembly of believers. A church is started through the work of the evangelist. Well, then elders then need to be ordained to rule the church according to the Word of God. Look in Acts 14. This is how it works. Acts 14. Somebody said, well, you know, Pastor Osteen's a Bible teacher. You know, he's... Well, you know what? Every pastor should be a Bible teacher. Yeah, we preach the gospel, we do the work of an evangelist, but the emphasis of a pastor is to teach the Bible. That's why he must be apt to teach. In Acts 14, verse number 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every church, and ordained just means to be appointed, and look, the way this works is God's people will recognize it in you. If you think you should preach, but nobody else does, you know what I'm saying? In other words, so, and of course the old story is the guy, the old farmer, you know, he was struggling. He thought maybe God was calling him to preach, and he was laid up under a tree taking a break in the shade. He looked up in the sky, and there was 2 clouds. Clearly it said PC. He said, there it is. There's my sign. Preach Christ. Preach Christ. So he tried to preach. And he gave that illustration in his message. He knew he was God called because God gave him that sign. And then a sweet old lady on the way out the door, as old ladies tend to do sometimes to preachers, you know, they in a sweet way straighten them out on the way out the door. And I've had that happen on occasion. But she came out the door and said, brother, I think you misinterpreted the PC. I think it means plant corn. Go back to farming, man. You can't preach. Okay, so God's people will recognize it in you. Okay? When they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. But see, they ordained them elders, plural, in every church. Every local church should have a plurality of leaders, not just one man. Elders are to use, not just fill, but use the office of bishop and deacon. The office of a bishop is a good work. The office of a deacon is a work. The elder or elders that are pastors are to be dedicated to feeding God's people God's word that they might be established in the faith. And the pastor is still to do the work of an evangelist, 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. All believers should be preaching the gospel to others, sharing the gospel with others. The work of the ministry. We're not going to turn there. We will look at it. We've looked at it many times, and I'm sure we'll look at it again before too long. And Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 16 is all one sentence. And it talks about what the work of the ministry is. The perfecting of the saints, the edifying of the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. And, you know, the local church is set up in such a way to help with the work of the ministry. You know, as believers are being established in the faith, they can better do the work of the ministry. And, you know, all who are in Christ are to be ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It goes on to say, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. All believers are ambassadors for Christ. So, that's basically it. The evangelist goes, preaches the gospel, people get saved, they start meeting together. From those believers, you can then ordain elders that can... And I know sometimes it takes a little bit because, especially if it's a brand new church and it's all brand new believers, it can take a little bit of time for people. Although, it shouldn't take as long as it does in a lot of cases with people. I think spiritual growth is dependent on how much you get in the Word of God and receive the Word of God. But when you have some people qualified there, according to the Scriptures, they should be set up to rule in the church, bishop and deacon, and the saints getting more established. We all do the work of the ministry together, as outlined in Ephesians 4, and we all need to be ambassadors for Christ. The church, you get, there's an emphasis on edification in the faith, but then we go out in our daily life as ambassadors for Christ to the lost world. The church is saved people meeting together, and then we go out to reach lost people with the gospel of Christ. Now, based on my study of the passages that deal with the issue of local church leadership, let me give you just a few observations here. I've already mentioned this, but elder, bishop and pastor can't all refer to the same person. But the bishop may or may not be a pastor. I think it's possible to have somebody who's an overseer who's not the one dedicated to teaching the Bible in the church. And look, you know, we have more than one teacher in our church, but the pastor is the main teacher. Okay, you always got to have that leadership there. Larger churches need more than one bishop, I would imagine, because the more people you have, the more work there is to oversee. And again, the meaning of the word deacon shows that they are to serve as assistants, I believe that, to the bishops. But the Holy Ghost appoints leaders in the church, and He does so based on the standards He put in His Word. 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. So it's not enough for a man to have a desire for the office of bishop. He must be qualified. And that's set down. Now look, and this is another message for another time, but the more I study the Bible, I've gotten to the place where, you know, so much that you hear of men talking about how God called them to be a preacher, you get a lot of sensational stuff along those lines I don't believe is scriptural. The simple fact is, God gives you a desire, and He equips you for it. He gives you the opportunity to do it, and you do it. You can choose to do it or not do it. If God wants you to do it, obviously you should. But there are some real sensationalized type things that you'll hear about, God called me. All believers have been called of God. Let me give you some homework. Look up how many times Paul talked about being called and see if he's talking about a select group of all believers. Okay? If you have the desire to be a bishop, you're qualified to be the bishop, you have the capability to be a bishop, then be a bishop. Okay? You don't have to wait for some supernatural, sensational thing to happen. You can volunteer. You know what? You know why preachers do that, though, don't you? Because if they want to feel more special than you. God did something in my life He didn't do for you, so I'm better than you, so listen to me. That's the psychology behind that. Now, in the early church, the apostles ordained elders, but there is no apostolic succession. There are no apostles today. So God put the guidelines in the Scripture for local churches to judge who should be a bishop, who should be a deacon, and He set the standard in His Word, and it's a high standard. Only elders can be a bishop or deacon based on the standard. What He describes is spiritual maturity. There are 16 things mentioned in 1 Timothy about the bishop. There are 16 things mentioned in Titus 1 about the bishop. There are 8 about the deacon. There are 8 things in 1 Timothy 3 that are not in Titus 1. And there are 8 things in Titus 1 that are not in 1 Timothy 3. For an example, apt to teach is not in both passages. But temperate. Let me see. I might be reading that wrong. Let me look at the passages. Yeah, you'll have in one passage where it'll say like apt to teach, and when you compare them, I'm not going to read all the verses. I'm trying to close this, but when you compare them, there are 16 and 16. 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. But there are things in one passage not in the other, and things in the other passage. You see? So what I'm saying is, when you put them all together, there are going to be 24. 24 things about the office of a bishop. Now, God didn't give us all those things so we can nitpick our church leadership, because no man lives up to that standard 100% of the time. But the point is, this ought to be the overall manner of life, that these things ought to be evident. Of the 24 different things, 16 are positive. This is what he must do. 8 are negative. This is what he must not do. You know what that tells you? Godly character is more about being and doing what's right than it is just not being and doing what's wrong. There's an emphasis on what he ought to do, not just what he doesn't do. Now, we'll go through these things over the next couple of weeks, and you might think, well, I don't have to be here for that because I'm not a bishop or a deacon. But let me finish with this verse, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So he's saying, be thou an example. When you go through the qualifications, it's describing the right example. And he goes on, by the way, after talking about bishop and deacon, he said, I'm writing this so you'll know how to behave in the house of God. And he says, great is the mystery of what? Godliness. From here on, 1 Timothy emphasizes godliness. It's mentioned 9 times. It says godly in chapter 1, so that's 10 references. But godliness is 9 times, starting in chapter 2 and running out through the rest of the epistle. So, having proper structure, and look, Paul said, let all things be done decently and in order. And you don't have to, let me say this, you don't have to have a building to have a church. The church is not a building. You've got to have saints. And you need to have right leadership appointed by God. And so, there are people today who think that somehow it's wrong to be organized. God is very organized. Aren't you glad of that? What if one of your eyes was on the back of your head and the other one's on your forehead? Aren't you glad He organized your face? I know sometimes we don't always look very organized, but God is a God of order. And some people act like you're not spiritual if you're organized. No, the Spirit of God put an order in the Word of God. And we need to follow divine order. And we want our church to be set up and to operate according to the pastoral epistles. We don't have to go to a church seminar. We don't have to go to, we don't have to get the House Church Manual. Oh boy. We don't have to get something like that to know how to operate a church. All we got to do is read what Paul wrote by inspiration of God. It's very clear. It's very important. You know, I know this is not like an exciting topic, but it's in the Word of God and it's there for a reason. We need to, from time to time, it's good to review these things. All right. Father, thank You for the time.